is my song, and it's all about doors. Doors to another dimension, for your eyes and your ears, and who knows who could walk through your door now. Well, my favorite door, it is red, and I shut it when I go to bed, and I sometimes can leave it ajar, and I lock all the doors in my car.
Oh, hi, Sarah. What are you doing?
Oh yeah, I just made a door song for the start of the show about doors, you know.
About doors, yeah. It's doors. DAWS, Digital Audio Workstations. We were going to compare a few of them, see how people are using them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you remember? Yeah, doors. Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yes, I have the audacity to audition for as many things as I can with my Pro Tools of a voice, and will happily gold wave at the mixcraft of anyone with the logic skills to edit.
You are Fruity Loops. Let's hope the Reaper doesn't come calling before you hit your prime.
Oh, the humanity.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Sarah. And today we're talking about your favourite doors. Digital audio workstations. That's right, isn't it, Fiona?
That is the thing. Yeah. Unless you would rather talk about anything else.
Well, I'll just sing.
No. Put that ukulele down and walk away. Okay. For anyone wanting to make your own audio drama, you do need to have the correct materials to do so and software. And nowadays, rather than using pieces of tape and mixing them together and all sorts of dangerous things with razor blades, you can now find a digital audio drama workstation to suit your needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's quite a lot of people who are on our forums using a variety, which is very, very cool. And we've got quite a few lovely dulcet toned folks to speak to you about what they're using and why they prefer it over other things. So obviously you are a superb editor lady.
Oh.
And what do you use specifically for your stuff?
Well, I use a different one from recording, from the one that I do for editing. For recording, I use Studio One, PreSonus Studio One. The reason being because it does have built-in punch and roll, punch and rock and roll. It's a lot quicker than the old method that I used to use, which was with a dog clicker. But because of that, if you can find one with punch and roll, because I do audiobooks, then it's a lot quicker in the process to do that kind of thing.
Can you explain what that is? I'm sure most people know, but just in case, what is punch and roll?
Say you have a line and you make a mistake in it. Now, not that you would ever do that, Sarah, I'm sure. But sometimes it can happen once in a while. And so with the clicker, I would say something like, "Hello, Sarah, good morning." Oh, good afternoon. So then I would click and then I would say, "Hello, Sarah, good afternoon." But with punch and roll, you could do, "Hello, Sarah, good," and you've got it wrong. So then you go backwards with your cursor and it will play, "Good morning, Sarah." And then you carry on with that whole flow to just carry on recording.
Isn't it clever? Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Oh, it is, isn't it? I know.
Yeah, no, I don't have that with Audacity, which is what I've been very greenly starting to use.
You had the audacity to start with that?
Did you know? Thought it was about time. But yeah, that was through using some very helpful handy hints from Matthew, what's his name, McLean?
Yeah.
And he, yes, with the podcast host, has got some really cool things that I've been able to use for my education in how to edit audio stuff. And I've mainly done interviews so far, But one day, I'll get there for doing lovely little audio drama, I think.
Yes.
So, at the minute, I'm very much a learning curve. So anyone else that's going through that, please feel free to contact me and help me. No, it's fine.
No,
I'm finding it good,
though. Job. Yeah, how are you finding the learning curve on it?
Thank you. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that I obviously are still asking you and various other people about. It's mainly as well when you've kind of finished the general editing, it's how to sort out the whole thing as a product that I'm learning about, really. Those are things that I don't know enough about yet. So, yes, but I have found it, you know, there's everything there makes sense once you get into the swing of things. You know, if you make a mistake, you can easily correct it, I think, currently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making sure there's enough space. Place in my Dropbox for what I have made. So that's one of my main issues. But yeah, otherwise, all is good fun. How about you? What are the big thick pros of working with Audition, do you think?
Yeah, for me, I find it's a very easy to use tool. It's very intuitive, possibly because I started with it, so therefore it feels like home. But it has a quite a large range of effects and various things that you can do to the audio within it. I do actually, I'm afraid, I use a third thing with the audio, which is RX, Isotope RX, which is also...
I've seen this banded about a lot. Yeah, what does that do specifically?
Basically, there are various versions of it. Mine is only a 4, but it's very, very sensitive in reducing noise, in declicking and decrackling things if you haven't eaten enough apples beforehand and what have you. And also I use it as for things like high pass filter, which you can also do indoors as well.
Yep.
But I just find with that particular software, it is designed for very fine tuning of things, which is really helpful.
So finesse.
Well, I don't know if I use it with finesse, but technically, yes, it is a tool. I'm sure, though, that there are, I'm not in any way, you know, speaking on behalf of them, I'm sure there are many other tools that are equally good, plugins that you can get for various doors, or doors, of course, that do that themselves. You know, some of the Audition itself does do it, but I do like RX just for that final touch.
Mm-hmm. And you say you use a different one for different things, so why is that?
Just because I found that I personally, when I was doing the audiobooks, there are certain standards to reach for Audible. And
yes.
I personally...
Audible!
Somebody recommended actually RX to me, and I tried it out and sort of measured up how the sound was compared with doing it on Audition totally. And for me, in my abilities, I personally found that it made getting to those levels, or, you know, under them, a lot more straightforward for me. But it's up to everyone, and I think what we're going to find from the people who speak, you know, who have far more experience and expertise than I do, is that for everyone has their own reasons for their own door and why it's an important part of their life and so on.
Yes. So without further ado, here are people talking about all of their favorite doors.
Hey, Sarah and Fiona, this is Raul Vega. I am the showrunner for the upcoming AD Rose Drive. Thank you two very much for having me on the show. I think this is the first time anybody is hearing my voice, so this is very exciting but also terrifying because I feel much more comfortable in the booth. But anyways, I thought I'd give my input on the question of DAW usage. I think it's a great question. I personally use 2. Currently, I live in Los Angeles, and I work in the movie industry on movie soundtracks. And aside from just being one of the industry standard programs that's used pretty much all across the board, Pro Tools is just amazing. It can be a pain in the butt sometimes, but overall, it's just something we all use here. And when I'm cutting audio and editing it for my job, it's so much easier to send it to the mixers if it's just all in the session instead of loose leaf files. When it comes to audio drama, I like recording in Pro Tools because For one, the waveform just seems to be cleaner and more true in Pro Tools than I found in any other DAW. Also, the rig that I use has Pro Tools on it, so that's another thing. And I'm the most comfortable with it because I use it every single day. So I'm really, really quick in it. When it comes to composing, because I am a composer as well, Logic is my main baby. So that's where I have all my samples, my VSTs. I do my film scoring in there, and I do all the scoring for Rhodes Drive and other shows in that as well. So I use a combination of the two. I start with Logic. I'm sorry, start with Pro Tools. Pro Tools is where I start. I do all my live audio recording in that, clean everything up in there, and then I export those WAV files, bring them into my Logic session, start writing the music around it, and then do my mix, the entire thing in Logic. Sometimes I'll do mastering in Pro Tools, but usually I'll just keep it in Logic. So those are the two that I use. I think the only thing I would say to anybody is no matter what DAW you use, use it well, get comfortable with it. People have their strong opinions here and there about what they use, and it's probably just because that's what they're comfortable and used to. But at the end of the day, if you can make your stuff sound good, doesn't matter what DAW you use. Just learn it to the absolute extent, exhaust your knowledge with it, and I think you're going to be fine. So thank you for having me on the show. I hope this wasn't too much time that I spent rambling here. So yeah, and check us out in Rhodes Drive if you haven't yet. We just put out a new promo teaser. I'm pretty excited about it. So thank you all for welcoming me into the community. I'm really excited to keep chatting with you all and learning. And thank you.
Darling, let's dance around the vital question of digital delicacies that might be dangling on the edge of your radar. Sorry about that, I couldn't resist. Hey, this is Edward Champion, producer of The Gray Area, and I am here to tell you why Reaper completely set the tone for The Gray Area, my podcast. So before I ventured into the marvelous world of audio drama, is that what we call it? I was using a sort of Stone Knives and Bearskins Sonar Cakewalk situation along with Audacity, and it really wasn't cutting the mustard. So I looked around and I saw that there was this thing called Reaper that everybody was talking about. Now, here's the great thing about Reaper. They give you a 60-day trial period, so you can essentially play around with this this DAW, this digital audio workstation, for 60 days and see if it's for you. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to go ahead and try a few things. I cut a few rough clips using Reaper, and I found, oh my God, this thing is so flexible. It's regularly updated. I found that out. There are updates almost, you know, every month. They're constantly tweaking the features, and that was definitely a selling point. It's extremely good for VST plugins, which are these little things that help you, you know, enhance your audio or clean it up or compress it or anything you want. But it also comes in with a really great built-in compression tool, which has been very useful, especially in the early days of my audio drama where I just had really bad audio. It was so bad. But it's also very customizable. I mean, you can set the look and you can set the organization of your file system. And for someone like me who is very fastidious when it comes to how we go ahead and put together a an audio drama of many components and many actors, that was a big plus. But here's the thing. It's only $60. It's not going to be that kind of that DAW that we won't name that is sort of akin to the ruffian who says this is the industry standard and then goes ahead and corners you into an alley and demands all of your money for the next 6 years. $60 is a very reasonable rate and an astonishingly cheap and very reasonable rate for something that has all the features that Reaper has. It is much better than Audacity. I still use Audacity. It gets me, it's a great way of sort of like kind of familiarizing myself initially with the files that I take in. But I gotta say, Audacity crashes all the time, especially if you're trying to stretch or reverse or slow or change the pitch on a file. I found that Reaper, all you have to do is just drag it And you can, and I do a lot of Foley where I am slowing things down and speeding things up and reversing things, trying to find new ways of expressing strange worlds. And I found that Reaper was just incredible at this. And so, for example, if you're creating a giant portal sound effect, which is a prominent part of the gray area, you're going to need to be able to instantly stretch something so that it doesn't crash. I was doing this on Audacity, and I would sit there, and I would wait 3 minutes for it to process. I'd go and make a cup of coffee, and I'd return back, and lo and behold, Audacity was still at it. But Reaper, instant, because of its setup. The other things I can say about it, it's constant saving, and the ability to go back to previous versions of what you edit, especially if you really screw it up, as I do, as we all do, is tremendously useful. I know most DAWs have that, but Reaper has this great way of really customizing it. I will say this. I have a bar scene in an episode called Brand Awareness, and if I had not been using Reaper, it never would have ended up this way. Reaper's setup is such that it's just really easy to lay down dialogue and overlap things, and I had this extremely ridiculous scene in a bar where I have four people talking at the same time. I was able to take this bar scene and turn it into something that was really just a lot of fun for me and actually was quite different from the script. I was able to layer it so that I had multiple people talking. I was able to add density to the scene in terms of a crowd going on in the back. And if it had not been for Reaper and its setup, I never would have edited the scene this way. And I was able to also condense what was a very long 8 or 9 minute scene into about 4 minutes. I have also discovered that Reaper has caused me to become a very speedy editor. As I am recording this, I just did a rough mix on a mini episode for a 6 minute script that actually ended up being about 3 minutes. Had it not been for the lovely Sarah Golding and her improvisations, it would have been much shorter. I hope I am not coming across too much as a pitchman, but I really have not had any problems with this thing, and I would recommend that you try out Reaper for the 60-day trial period, see if it's your thing, and I think you'll find it's a huge step up from Audacity, and I think you'll find that it will open up your creative possibilities in ways you never anticipated. All right, thanks very much.
Hello, it's Matthew. You can't get rid of me on this podcast, can you? So I'm back to talk briefly about DAWs, because I was asked by Fiona and Sarah about this very subject. So it's Adobe Audition that I use. I've been using that since about 2010. When Robert and I were studying radio at college, that's what we learned on. That's what they had at the college. And for that reason, I just kind of stuck with it. I think when you become really comfortable in a particular DAW, it just makes sense to stay with it, as long as there's no issues like cost. I mean, that is one of the big problems with Adobe Audition, and that's the reason that I really don't recommend it to anyone who's just starting out in audio production, because although it's a very good tool, it's got this ongoing subscription thing. I don't think you could actually buy it anymore. And it just makes so much sense to go and spend a wee drop money on something like Reaper, which is also brilliant, and that's it bought. And if you get an audio drama and you decide further down the line that you don't want to do it anymore, you know, it's not like you've spent too much, whereas Adobe Audition over the years, you're going to clock up quite a big payment over time. So we didn't get taught too much about Adobe Audition at college, just the very, very basics, laying stuff out on the multi-track and making very basic dialogue edits. It wasn't until we started doing audio drama and started speaking to other producers, we realised there was a whole other world of options out there for your audio. Nowadays, I'll be honest with you, like I don't use a lot of effects, a lot of plugins and things like that. I'm very much about, and I know this is, you know, standard practice for audio producers, is just recording really good source material. So any tweaking that I'm doing in post-production is just enhancing rather than repairing stuff. being a producer of a remote audio drama, you're getting lines in that have been recorded in different locations with different microphones and things like that. So I like to immediately make a new copy of a file when it comes in. And usually what I'll use in Adobe Audition is the adaptive noise reduction, I think it's called, just to create a really clean WAV version of a file that's come in, and work with that for a wee bit. And sometimes I mess about with the EQ just to make sure that, you know, I'm happy with the way that it's sounding, especially when you start bringing in all these voices and trying to layer them together. But I love the... you know, I love the multi-track in Adobe Audition, the effects rack, you know, putting whatever sort of filters you want to put on to each different track. And then there's also the option to set a loudness level as well. So I usually go for about minus 17 LUFS when I'm working in stereo with audio drama. With a mono podcast, I think I usually go about minus 19, but it makes it very easy in Adobe Audition just to set that loudness level. Obviously, it's not perfect, you know, there's a lot of variables, but it's the computer's got a better ear than I have probably, so it does a pretty good job of just maintaining some consistency from the start to the finish of the episode, but also, you know, through each episode, throughout an entire series, so that it remains at that same level where your listener isn't constantly going to have to be at their volume dial when they're consuming your show. So I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else is saying about this, and thank you very much for asking.
Hi, this is Travis Van Graaff with the Liberty Podcast, and I use Mixcraft by Acoustica. I was originally drawn to Mixcraft because it had a free 30-day trial that I'd extended a couple of times. Like, it lets you use everything about the entirety of the program for free for 30 days. So I uninstalled it and I reinstalled it. I put in a new email each time. I probably shouldn't say that, but I did that for a while. And then eventually I was like, okay, I'm using this thing quite a bit. I probably should go legitimate. And this was years ago, back in when Mixcraft was only in, I think, Mixcraft 2 at the time. Wasn't particularly good. Had some problems. It crashed a lot and stuff. But since it's got to Mixcraft 8, it's been really phenomenal. It's a very stable environment to work in. The thing that drew me to it is it's very simple. I've used other DAWs in the past, but none have really been quite as easy to use for me. To set up, to import files, it's easy. To export things, it's really easy. It tells you, like, this is the quality of a CD. This is the quality of a record. Actually, your computer can't even play this quality. It's just too good. You won't even hear the difference. It has built-in effects that are pretty cool, too. The reverb settings are nice. The automation lines are very straightforward. It's just very user-friendly, and that's what I really love about it. It also integrates really well with a lot of the additional add-ons I use, like Kontakt and Melodyne and Easy Drummer. Don't tell anyone I use Melodyne. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to erase this. Also, another cool feature is stem exporting. So when you want to send something off to get mixed, you sometimes have to export line by line by soloing each track in other DAWs and saying, okay, here's person talking, here's ambient layer, here's sound effect layer one, here's sound effect layer two. You can just click one button and export everything, and it is just very simple, and you can even control the names of your stem exports through just a series of, like, do you want them all to be named after the track? It's very easy. Also, a really cool feature is an add and remove time feature. So when you're working on something, I think this is absolutely my favorite feature they've got right now, that in the new version, when you have a bunch of notes in your timeline and it's like, okay, at 2 minutes and 42 seconds, I need to insert enough space for character dialogue, or I need to remove this dead space between like two scenes. And I've got like notes throughout the entirety of the track that I just sort of insert, like where it would change BPM or something if it was a song. It's actually just me like putting notes like, oh, I need to add a sound effect here. So you can basically move the entirety of everything that comes after that segment to be more time or less time, and your automation and your all the triggers and BPM changes and notes will follow suit as well, which is pretty great. It's not something you would think of if you don't get really, you know, deep down the rabbit hole of insanity, but it's kind of cool. Actually, I take that back. My favorite feature about it is the auto save crash. Like, it'll save different versions of your project repeatedly as you're working on it in the background. And when your computer explodes or something horrible happens, you have like 5 backups at various parts of where you were at, including one that's probably like maybe only 5 minutes of work lost or something. And that, to me, is really invaluable. Again, the 30-day trial is really what drew me to it, and I've been brand loyal ever since because it's as stupid as I am, and it works great. It's just a solid program. And it's only like $50, too.
Hi, Fiona and Sarah. This is Rick Coast over at modernaudiodrama.com. You might not know this, by the way, but we just launched a new show called The Fiona Potts Interview, and it co-stars a former host of this show. Hey, Robert. So anyway, the show runs for 8 weeks, so check it out if you have a chance. So, mixing. Ever since producing the show The Behemoth, I've been using Hindenburg Journalist, the pro version. Now, you don't actually need the pro version. You can do most everything with the basic version. But the pro version does have some cool little features like noise reduction and a custom voice profiler. So the way my workflow goes is I do all of my initial editing of dialogue files in iZotope's RX Advanced 5. I think RX 6 is coming out soon, this month as a matter of fact. In that, I do things like splitting the lines, removing background noises, plosives, and that sort of thing. And then I ship all of it over to Hindenburg for final mixing. Now, one of the coolest things about Hindenburg is that it's able to plug into a good portion of iZotope's features. Not all of them, but most of them. So if I missed something in editing, I can always take care of it in mixing. Now, some of the things I like about Hindenburg. It's fast. It's exceptionally fast. It loads fast, it exports fast, and it renders everything in the DAW fast. And that's a plus. But my favorite feature has to be, well, one of my favorite features has to be the clipboard. So when I'm ready to mix, I place all of the files in the clipboard, and that sits on the left side of the workspace, so I can customize it there as well. So I have a clipboard section for dialogue, all the dialogue files go there. I have one for effects, all the effects for that particular episode go in the effects clipboard spot, and then there's music. It also has a sort of global clipboard that allows you to save clips that you use all the time, like ending credits. My shows typically have the same ending credits when I do have ending credits, and I'll save that in the global clipboard space, so every episode when I open up a new project, those global clips are always there available to me. You can also preview the clips that are in the clipboard just like alternate takes. So if I have, say, 3 or 4 different takes of a particular line, I can test the different takes and drag the one I like over to the appropriate track. I also like the fact that you can create and save a default workspace. For example, I'm in post-production of a show called Water Guns and Rainbows right now. So when I open a new project to work on an episode, the tracks for each of the actors are already there, as well as tracks reserved for music and effects. So I can change the default setup when I start production of a new show. Hindenburg also has some neat out-of-the-box features. Some of them I used back when I was producing documentary-style podcasts, and some I actually still do use. Although I let iZotope handle noise reduction, I will use Hindenburg's built-in noise reduction if I think a track needs just a little bit more. It also has a built-in compressor. I use that as well. It has loudness meters, which you can set for each track individually, or you can set on multiple tracks. And I'm just kind of getting into using that, actually. It's pretty cool. One of the other things that is pretty neat to play with is the voice profiler. Now, say you're reading the credits and you really like how it sounds. You can set the voice profiler to learn or take a snapshot of your voice, or voice profile, so that you can apply it to your voice the next time you read credits. Maybe you're using, I don't know, a different mic or something and you want it to sound like it did before. That profiler feature will apply EQ and compression to duplicate it as close as possible to the conditions of the original. Now, I could probably go on and on about it, but I'll let somebody else take the stage. I probably talked on enough. Thank you both, and we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you to all our contributors there about their use of DAWs. And I think that was really interesting, wasn't it, to hear such a range of replies.
Well, that's what's exciting, I think. And there is so much amazingly creative work being made in spite of and despite whatever technical equipment they have to contend with. So, yeah, it's brilliant to hear from these guys to say, you know, how well you can use that specific tool. And we'll be putting links to their work and them on our show notes. So if you want to get in contact with them, I'm sure they won't mind. And also, I guess you can put any other questions for anybody on our forum on Facebook, or find us on @YapAudio on Twitter. And our email is podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. It's so simple, everyone should be able to remember it, shouldn't they, Fiona?
Absolutely, yes, of course.
So, if you're going to look for a door, then let's have a look at what might attract you to whatever door it is.
Pretty colours?
Oh, pretty colours, definitely, yeah. What drew you to Audacity?
Well, actually, it was just recommended to me as kind of a good one to start with, because, as I say, my experience of it is little. I just want to act, essentially. But I have lots of lovely ideas that one day I want to come to fruition and hopefully try my hand at, you know, producing something cool. So this has been a really fantastic way, gently, of easing in. And yes, it's kind of not all singing or dancing as much as, from what I understand, some of the other doors, you know, kind of have, you know, a lot more expertise and learning curves behind them. But for what I need currently to learn about, it's easily accessible for me. It's got a lot of really brilliant tutorials, not just from the one I've kind of been learning from, but you know, there's fabulous forums online, on Facebook. There's an Audacity group there. You can ask questions. There's, you know, a plethora of things on good old YouTube. So, yeah, I just think, you know, it's not a standalone thing where you're on your own with the tumbleweeds blowing and you're going, help me. It's a question of there's a lot of stuff out there. And if you need help, you can find it. Or just ask you and other friends on the forum. So that's why I'm using that specifically at the moment. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, no, actually, it's the same thing. I was originally recommended it. I think that is actually it. If you know someone who knows it and who can help you, or, like you say, if you can find online resources, which you can for, well, lots of doors now. Fantastic resources, actually. It's really blossomed in the last few years.
As have we.
As have we, of course. You hope.
All different ways.
Withered and dropped off. I don't know.
Gravity.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, yeah, like you say, ease of use is good. It's good to have bells and whistles, obviously very exciting. But especially when you're starting out, some of them are quite prohibitive to a beginner in their cost, but check out free trials of some of them, and yeah, you can check them out, see if you like them, and then work out which one might be worth investing in for the future.
Because you talk about that, let's expand on that. So basically, some of them you can buy outright and have then, and that's yours, and that is what works. But some have a monthly fee incurred, don't they, and or something else that works. I don't know if you want to expand on that.
Yeah, the anymore. Current one for Audition, for example, I don't have this. I've got the pay once version. But the latest one is a cloud version. So to pick up on what Matthew was saying, for that you do pay monthly, but you have all the updates and that kind of thing, and I believe some sort of cloud coverage. And so that's just one version. I expect there are others like that. Or there are other ones where you pay a one-off lump sum for, like, Reaper. And then once you have it, you have it completely. Or like earlier versions of Audition as well.
Cool.
And some other ones are free completely. So it's really a question of finding which one works for you, what's best. Do you need one that is updating all the time? Maybe you're doing quite cutting-edge stuff. Or can you get away with something that is a one-off, very big birthday present or something?
Hooray for birthdays!
Yay!
No, I think that's very important to consider, isn't it? It's that whole investment thing. And we're hoping to do a an episode on equipment and what people have and look at that, because, yeah, I think this is quite a big potential investment, isn't it? If you're aiming to do something that you're seeing through a long time, a long term, through long projects, then yes, it perhaps is worth investing in something that is going to be keeping with the times.
Exactly.
I did get slightly annoyed. Maybe it's my 19-somethings upbringing where you just have one thing and it lasts for 100 years. But I think this it's quite fascinating having to invest. You know, your phone is meant to last a year and that's pretty much it these days, whereas some things you bought, you know, you use forever.
Yeah.
So that frustrates me about technology sometimes, but, you know, I guess you've got to stick with it. Somebody's got to make money somewhere.
This is true. But even so, I'm not sure even whether the ones that you pay a one-off fee for will work in 100 years. I don't know. I'd like to think we're making audio drama in 100 years' time still, you know.
Me and you.
Absolutely.
Exciting. Episode 903. Actually, it'd probably be 102 because it'd take us a little while.
Yes, exactly. We'd have lovely stories to tell by then, I'm sure. But obviously, yes, you've got to cost in all of your equipment. So if you are looking to go straight to or moving up to a professional business model, then obviously maybe that investment is for you. Although, to be honest, on some of the free ones, you know, there are a lot of very good podcasts that are made on the free ones as well.
Mm. It'd be interesting actually to fathom that, wouldn't it? How do you make yours? Maybe we can sort that out and fathom what people are using.
If you go to the Facebook group, there is a poll that we did of what people are using. And you can certainly match the producers to their shows to find out what they do it
That's
on.
Good game.
Oh, yes.
Nothing for a pair.
And talking of games, bingo.
Yes, what a brilliant, brilliant strategy. Yes, I don't know if you've heard of the amazing initiative from Caitlin from Liberty Podcast, who basically has created a fantastic bingo board with all 24, with one free space, podcasts that people are doing, from indie podcasts as well as the extremely well-funded and successful ones, and the indie successful ones. And yeah, it's very exciting to see. So it's a really good way of publicising these podcasts. And I know other people are interested in on getting on the future cards. Mm. So why not just get in contact with Caitlin? Because she's currently in charge of making them. But yes, it'd be really brilliant if you could, you know, retweet, resend, put on Facebook or whatever apps and social media you're using, so we can get everybody to have a look and see if they can listen to these amazingly various products that everyone's making. It's very exciting.
Yeah, make it big and then be on it.
Yeah, and the prize is that you've learned all those new stories,
yeah,
which I think is amazing. And it is actually quite exciting when you do get at least a row. I think the thing is, do you have to listen to every single episode to get the row? I'm kind of going, well, I'm three episodes in, so that counts, right?
You're cheating.
Oh, but no, it is very exciting. I mean, that's what's brilliant, is the amount of amazing things. And daily I'm finding out, oh, gosh, I can't even think how many podcasts are coming out.
It has exploded, hasn't it? Brilliant.
It's very exciting. Yeah, so keep on keeping on, guys. It's very cool. People are talking about all of your shows in very cool ways. So keep on working hard. It's amazing. And if you're just at the start of your podcasting adventures, then yeah, hashtag ADPodBingo. Have a look at that. Hashtag tripod. Hashtag AudioDramaApril for currently what we're doing all over the Twitter madness. So yeah, there's lots going on.
Cool. And if you get a chance, please go over to the podcast host. There, Matthew has written a microphone review, in case you're looking for some hardware as well as software, on the AKG C214 microphone.
Marvellous piece of kit. It looks beautiful as well.
It is
actually
ever so lovely. A great high-end mic.
And we all need one of those in our lives.
Yes. Can we say a big thank you to our Patreons and to a new Patreon, David Fahey? We very much appreciate your continued support. Thank you.
Yes, mentally and social medially and financially. Yes, thank you, David. That's very, very cool of you. And we look forward to seeing what your audio adventures are going to be like.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. Very cool. Marvellous. Well, thank you very much for listening, guys.
Are you saying that you're closing the door on this conversation, Sarah?
I'm closing the door. Yeah, I am. I think that's the best way to end. Goodbye.
Goodbye.